I need to make sure the microphone is working. The microphone. How about the headphone? Is it working? Yes, it is. It's beautiful. Yes. Yeah.
I've been trying to think about more entry Brits, but I don't have the guts anymore. Also, I think Carissa's going to be taking over most of the starting shows. Well, it depends. Depends if someone doesn't betray her again. We'll see. That remains to be seen. But besides the point, I think it should be fine. I should stop. I've been listening to my show too, and I keep saying "besides the point" and other fun phrases. I'm gonna slow down for this episode and make sure you can keep me accountable. Tally every single time I say that phrase, and we'll be fine. All right? Awesome. Thank you.
Ladies and germs,
welcome back to Independent Incidentals. That's still from Halloween. Have we not changed the soundboard, people? I'm losing my mind. Anyway, we're back in the studio. You might be wondering, what happened to Bookmarked? Everyone from near and far were talking about Bookmarked, and they were so depressed that it wasn't here today. And I'll have to tell you that unfortunately, Krista wasn't able to do it today. I know, it's unfortunate. She told me specifically that if it happens again, then she's not gonna do it again. So you better give Carissa all your support, because she'll need it. She needs your support right now, immediately, right now. Additionally, also the song that was just played was The Underking from the game Absolutum, which is a fantastic game from what I've heard and what I've seen. It has that sort of Castle Crashers, old school beat 'em up vibe, but also Mick Gordon did the soundtrack to that, who's the same guy who did the Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal soundtrack, which is just beautiful and juicy, and I love it so much. And I hate the fact that apparently Bethesda kicked him out. Unfairly mistreated him, ridiculed him, mocked him, and I'm glad that he's in full force still, which is, I just love to see that. Shouts out to the people who still have to make the soundtrack, even though McGordon is gone in the new installments of the Doom games. It's just a sad thing to see, truly, the fact that the fan base are eating them alive, even though they're doing a pretty good job. But besides the point, we're not going to be talking about that today. I want to talk about some news first. I heard from the grapevine and also from my Google News feed, which is the main source of everything that's credible today. Isn't that right, people? You love your algorithm. Eat your yummy slop. Eat your slop, people. I heard a specific story about a good thing about how AI is being regulated. Apparently, there's a small streaming service you might have heard of called Bandcamp. Bandcamp is the main place where I listen to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard now, because they are not a people who support, national, automated war efforts, which is great, because I hate the fact that Spotify does that. Now, the fun thing about this specifically is that they upped up their artificial intelligence policies. Sorry, it took me a while to get that out, because I was trying to word exactly what I was going through in the moment, because I'm just so freaking excited, man. I've been seeing so much damn slop in my Spotify feed, it's ridiculous. Probably because I listen to video game slop in the first place, but it doesn't mean I listen to AI slop. That's one step too far. You can make fun of me for listening to video game slop, like Hades 2 soundtrack and Doom Eternal soundtrack, but don't compare this to this drivel, to this automated drivel that I absolutely hate. And I hate the little, I've seen so many of them in the coming months. Specifically, the one that I came across most recently was during Christmas, and it's like, cozy jazz jingles, and it's a guy like it with the stupid AI art that I hate so much. It looks like piss. It looks like dribbled piss. Someone sprayed piss on a wall and covered like a stupid, like, 13-year-old's drawing with piss. It looks bad. I'm sorry. It looks terrible, and I can immediately spot it when I see it. But when I looked at this drawing, and I looked at all the artists that were labeled there, and I just thought to myself, no, No, and no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this, people. I'm not going to have my feed being taken over by a damn clanker, all right? That's not happening. So obviously I reported it to Spotify. I bet they're doing nothing about it. They say they're going to be out rolling a bunch of preventative AI measures to make sure that that doesn't come up in your feed again. But Bandcamp is actually making preventative measures right away instead of having to, you know, pretend like they're doing something. They specifically mentioned how they are going to completely take down AI. They're not even just going to be labeling it like, what was it, that Steam already does, the video game aggregate. They're actually going to be fully removing these that have any stink of AI, anything that tries to recreate someone's art style, like I've seen several times with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, or even more so with, like, even, like, random podcasts that I've been seeing that are just fully AI now. Like, what are we doing here? And also, like, these self-help gurus that are also being automated by AI, which is just sad to see. They're fully taking those down. Like, all those songs, every single thing that's possibly, like, could be tangentially had their algorithm fed to it are being taken down. And also just anything in AI in general, which is, I just, mwah, mwah, thank you, Faith in Humanity, you've returned to me. Like, I see the people who are trying to defend this specifically. They're trying to, like, make the argument that it's you're being ableist or that you're trying to block people. You're trying to gatekeep the musical community because you don't want to put in any effort in. First of all, I'm not talking about anything specifically regarding people that allows people to, like, if it helps people, like, who are struggling and have already tried to get help and they can't do it, then by all means. Right? I think that's a great thing to do. And that's, like, one of the good implements of AI. What I don't like is people who are just lazy, who are just specifically bored of life and are, like, and devoid of any personality at all, and just literally, like, spitting to the bottom of the barrel and say, I can't do it. You don't have a personality. You binge Reddit comments, man. I don't care. I don't care if it's hard for you. It's supposed to be hard. Art is supposed to be hard. You're supposed to be toiling away at this. Also, I need water. Hold on. Where's my water at? Hold on. I'm going to keep talking to you guys. I need to get some water, though. There it is. I let myself go on a little scavenger hunt. That's crazy to me. Why would I do that to myself? I was having a little chat with Carissa before the episode, and we were talking about some very fun and secretive stuff specifically. You know, I do love a bit of gossip. But what are we talking about today? We're talking about specifically the NORP epilogue. The NORP epilogue is spelled G-N-O-R-P, right? That's the whole premise of this episode. But beyond that also, we're talking about idle games, incremental games. What I've seen people talk about these games and why I think they're still a video game. Surprising, shocker, I know. It's interesting to me to see the argument going around that these games are not games. What I don't like to see is all the microtransactions are surrounding it, obviously. But beyond that, I still believe that a lot of these games are pretty well made, including the NORP epilogue. So how about we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode and talk specifically about what is an idle game to begin with? It's in the name, guys. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves. An idle game is where you idle. That's it. Continuous progression. You are able to put the game away and come back and have progress made. Obviously, this is a bit of a broad exaggeration. Like, the whole point of the game, you can still, like, there's, like, you know, things you can do to speed up the progress. You can click on the screen to possibly accrue more money or accrue more wealth or credits or whatever the game is, you know, cookies, right? And cookie clicker. Whatever the game is advertised as. Sometimes you just watch something progress. Like, that's the true idle game experience. Like that paperclip game. I still have no clue what that game is about. It's something about paperclips taking over the world and being a satire of capitalism. Besides the point, sometimes you click, sometimes you watch something progress. But all in all, You don't have to do anything in this game, right? The game will do it on its own. You just have to put in the work to set the automation up, right? In a sense, some games like Factorio or like some more, even Minecraft in some sense, if you can set it up properly, can be an idle game. It really depends if you have spawners available, stuff like that. Like, all these more flexible games can be played like an idle game. However, more pure idle games are like mobile games, like games on your phone. We're going to be talking about specifically more of the actual monetization habits of mobile games in a future episode. But for now, we're just talking about idle games in particular. We're talking about Cookie Clicker, we're talking about Adventure Capitalist, we're talking about these kind of games, right? And more broadly, we're also talking about incremental games. I think more specifically, I meant to say. More specifically, we're talking about incremental games. Now, incremental games is a game where you, say it with me now, increment a value. Thank you, audience. I appreciate it. Now, you increment any value specifically. It could, again, be money, could be cookies, could be whatever you want it to be. There's specific elements that are attached to an incremental game. If you want to distinguish between an idle game and an incremental game, you have to ask yourself three questions. If you restart, do you get a better advantage? First question. Second question. Does it include rapid growth? When you restart the game and do these prestige levels and you restart the game, does it allow you to get better stuff? And number three, I forgot what the third one was. Oh yeah, if you leave the game alone and come back to it, does it give you money or does it just save where you left off? If the third question is a yes, it's most likely an idle game. It's more of an idle game than an incremental game. But if it includes things like prestige systems and rapid growth, it might be more of an incremental game. A lot of these games are more of hybrid games, if you know what I'm saying. If you played Cookie Clicker before, you know that the main goal is to get more cookies, right? That's the whole idea. That's literally the entire concept from start to finish. Get more cookies. That's it, right? But the way you get more cookies is including getting grandmas that automatically bake the cookies for you. It's by getting cookie factories, cookie galaxies, cookie universes, right? Stuff like that to increase the value of your cookie generation. My throat is so dry recently. All right. So, do you know that some people call it Adam's Ale? I discovered that out like 5 years ago, and I still can't get rid of that thought in my mind. What is Adam's Ale? That's Adam's Ale. What wheat field did he grow that from? Goddamn. Literally. Anyway, an incremental game can be an idle game. An idle game can be an incremental game. These things are just pretty much interchangeable depending on what game you're talking about. But some games, like for example, there's one game in particular that's a little bit more niche called Antimatter Galaxies, or Antimatter Dimensions, I think it's called, where basically you just accrue atoms. And it's a very, very plain GUI. It doesn't have anything to do with, like, you know, very cool graphics about clicking cookies. There's no specific things about that. It's just literally getting to the integer count, which is, I think, around 308. Wait, it's something to the power of 300. Yeah, it's 10 to the power of 308. That is the cap of any integer in a program, which is the goal of the game, which obviously you can break and then continue to accrue stuff and stuff like that, right? The whole idea is that you're kind of collapsing galaxies on himself, and then you get more power based on how many galaxies you collect and how fast you're able to do it and stuff like that, and you can have challenges as well. That, in its essence, is more of an incremental game because you're actually playing with the numbers that are available to you rather than just waiting for it idly, right? That's the whole key. Are you progressing manually, or are you progressing idly? Are you waiting for stuff to happen? Are you waiting for just something to fall into your lap? Like in Adventure Capitalist, where literally you just press the button and then you leave the app for a week and you come back and you're like, oh, I have $300 billion. Or are you actually engaging with the game consistently? Are you able to continuously play the game rather than just waiting for something to happen? Are you able to vary your strategy on how you accrue stuff, right? Which is kind of the whole purpose of the NORP epilogue. So, we've discussed how an idle game comes to be, and the difference between an idle game versus an incremental game, as probably useless as it is, specifically, right? That's another word I have to get rid of. I talked about all the words I have to get rid of, and that's one of them. Keep me accountable, guys. If you hear me say specifically, throw me in a dumpster. Please, I'm begging you. I need to be better at this. I need to do better for you guys. I'm sorry. Where was I? We're talking about, now, the NORP Apologue. We finally reached our destination of what the NORP Apologue is. It's an incremental game. Why did he create this game in the first place? I forget the person who made the game. I believe it was... Shoot, I thought I had this somewhere. You think you're planned for something. You think you have it. You think you have it, and then you don't. And then you don't. Myco. I don't think that'll pop up anything. M-Y-C-O. That is the creator of this game. The game creator's name is Myco. Or Myso? I don't know how to pronounce it specifically. Probably something related to mycelium. Besides the point, it is related to fungi. I was right. Apparently the AI overview, which I hate and despise, told me so. So it has to be true. So Myso was the creator of this game. And the reason why he created this game was not because he was just bored or was a game jam or whatever, like any of the other people we're talking about. He had two main purposes for this game. Maybe three if you want to count that one in particular. But the first idea was he wanted to create a game using the programming language Rust. Now, take this with a grain of salt, because I don't know too much about Rust. But what from what I've seen from the screenshots he showed in his blog, a lot of the language that is used is it's pretty low level. What I mean by that, if you're not a programmer, is that languages like, for example, C, C++, even, for example, Java to some extent, are lower level programming languages. I mean, they have a sort of more close relationship to machine code, right? If it's more effectively being able to process itself as machine code, which then allows it to run faster, right? For example, programming language C has a lot of, you know, a very basic level of, you know, syntax. There's only 32 different types of syntax if you don't import anything. So you're pretty much just doing a lot of this stuff manually. You have to clean out your processing, usage of memory and storage and stuff. So if you possibly, you know, you could possibly break your computer if you don't, like, aren't paying too much attention. Now, on the other hand, you have stuff like Python and even like game engines, for example, like Unity and Godot. They're all based on these specific languages that are used for a more, you know, usable approach, a more user-friendly approach. A lot of English language that then has to get transmitted, compiled, as it were, into the machine code, right? So a lot of these languages obviously have a lot of upsides and downsides. The main thing is efficiency versus readability. How well do you want to read your program versus how fast do you want it to run? With the NORP Apologue in particular, Myso specifically thought, hey, I want to make this game in Rust, because A, he didn't really know too much about Rust, and he wanted to play around with the language, and B, he wanted to see, like, he didn't like Godot, he didn't like all these different things, so he wanted to play around with Rust, which is a pretty new language, and also is a pretty low-level language. And he wanted to see if he could create a very fast, very efficient game with its language. And number two, which is just the kind of sweeter side of things, is that it was a gift for his girlfriend. And that's just adorable, honestly. I can't even make a joke about it. It's just cute, man. It's the thing that everyone dreams about, honestly, just being able to make something for your beloved. It's adorable. And you know what? Maybe I should have done this for Valentine's Day, because that would just been the icing on the cake. But unfortunately, I wanted to get this done and over with. Because here's the thing: I don't really vibe with incremental games, but at the same time, understand why they exist. And I wanted to play this one in particular because it's a very good example of an incremental game. So I think it did this genre pretty well, even though if I don't really pay attention or enjoy this genre as much as someone else might enjoy it, right? So I want to just put this on the spotlight just because I thought it was a very neat development as a whole. So we know why he made it. He wanted to test a new language and he wanted to make something for his girlfriend for her birthday, right? What is this game about, though? What are norps? Are you a norp? Am I a norp? What is a norp? If you've seen my Instagram story, if you've seen my independent incidentals at independent incidentals on Instagram, you've seen a very frothing man discuss norps and see the norps. They hit the rock and the rock explodes and the people collect the rug. And I don't know what's going on, man. Someone help me out. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Please. I don't understand it. The Norp epilogue is about many, many things. The accrual of wealth and the growth of Norp society. The democratization of Norps and their indoctrination of dogma against the rock, which they hate. They despise it. The constant climb to progress. Through their hatred manifest. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's, I mean, it is exactly what the story is. But I'm, you know, it is a satire in a sense. A lot of these games are a satire. You understand? Like, it's a lot of these incremental games, if they're done right and they don't have microtransactions in them, kind of make fun of capitalism as a whole. It's sort of satire of the system, which they perpetuate, right? So the Norp epilogue is really just, they say on the Wikipedia article right here, is a journey of Norps as you guide them towards their goal of delightfully excessive wealth accumulation. Right? So there's these Norps, we know these Norps have a Norp society of sorts, right? They have a Norp religion. And their whole purpose in life is to destroy the rock, to collect the shavings of the rock, which are called shards, and bring it back to the mothership, which then they can use to develop more of their society. Again, if that doesn't scream funny capitalism joke, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, man. Go back to the economics class or something, man. I don't tell you. It's funny because it's like a full rendition of like the one. If you strip away everything, if you strip away investments, stock markets, if you strip away everything beyond that, it's just you're just throwing rocks into a vault, which is then being used by the powers that be, which in this case is you. You are controlling you are the one determinant. You are the treasurer. You are the president. You are everything to these Norps. If the Norps, if you don't let the Norps thrive, then they die. The Norps need you. The Norps require your assistance in their progression in this world and to destroy the one thing they hate the most, which is the thing that gives them the most wealth, which is, again, ironic in a very specifically clever way. I don't know if myself specifically thought about this, but I think it's a very clever distinction of the capitalist machine that we all hate, but we have to still perpetually, you know, continue going through, right? We can hate the rock as much as we want to, people, but we're still trapped in it. If we don't do anything specifically, we're not going to get anywhere. And no, I'm not talking about communism. Get out. Get out now. Get out now. Leave. Now, leave. I'm not talking about that. No, we're not. If we're talking about socialism, we can have a conversation. I'm not talking about communism, okay? We're not talking about that. And it's interesting, too, because if you look at this game specifically as well, it kind of wraps around back into communism. In a very strange sense, it's like we're looking at this like they are specifically so vehemently angry at the rock that they hit the rock and then they collect the rock and then they generate more wealth, right? But at the same time, they don't get paid. They don't have wages, man. These Norps don't have wages. In the game, literally in the game, you don't have to pay these Norps for anything specifically. Like they just do it on their own. They're like little. I mean, it's kind of like The Sims. If they're all just Norps, if you've replaced all the Sims with Norps, it's kind of like any game. If you replace the characters with Norps. If you replace the characters with Norps, I think it would be pretty similar to the Norp epilogue. If you really think about it, If you stop to think about it, if you replace the game, any game character with a Norp, then it's closer to the Norp apologue than if it didn't have that. Oh my god. I'm losing my mind. What I'm saying is this game is silly. Okay? That's what I'm saying, man. I was playing this game throughout most of, because I was sick during most of the winter break. After the fact of singing my heart out, if you've seen my Instagram, if you see my personal Instagram, you can see my beautiful rendition of Let It Snow. I also sang at my church choir, which was fun. And then the day after, my throat was in hell. It was just disgusting. And I think I still have it. You can hear more voice cracks in my voice. I'm going through it, man. I'm dying. I'm dying here, man. This is the game that actually helped me the most. Like, this is the game that was, like, there for me. That and, I think, Baldur's Gate. That was, like, the only two games I played during the winter break. And then the rest was just history, I guess. No, that's not true. I think I also played One Shot, which I'm going to be talking about next month, which will be fantastic. Again, just a little reminder. If you want to see the schedule for this month of January for all the episodes, then please go to my Instagram at Radio Laurier, and it'll give you all of the deets surrounding when I'm going live, what specific thing topics I'll be talking about. I think it's also on Radio Laurier as well, which is fantastic. They just love me there. They just love me. I'm like the best. You know what I'm saying? Of course, there's a bunch of people who are also the best. So if you want to support Radio Laurier, then please go to the website, check out some other shows. I'm pretty sure they're on Instagram. I mean, Spotify as well. Probably, maybe, depending. I think I've seen them once or twice. Anyway, we're talking about the Norp Apologue. So basically what I'm saying is a lot of this game kind of surrounds itself around capitalism, the accrual of wealth, trying to get as many shards as possible to be able to upgrade your guys, which is the kind of main goal of an incremental game. Let's talk about more about gameplay specifically, right? Specifically about gameplay. There's a lot of things to talk about with the Norp Apologue, but to start, to give a bit of a structure to this, we have to talk about the main players in Norp society. We have, on the one side, the hitters, who are the main destructive forces in the Norp society, who want to, nothing more than to see the, shall we say, main antithesis to an entire Norp's life? Question mark? To be destroyed, to have destruction laid upon it, to destroy the one thing that they hate the most, which is the rock. The rock is the thing they hate the most, so they must destroy it. So they, in order to do that, they have to headbutt it, or blow it up, or shoot it with a gun, or breathe fire on it, or shoot an arrow at it, or vomit on it, or anything else in between, you know? There's a lot of things that this game has to offer. And it's really up to you to decide what playstyle you want to do in order to deal the most damage to this rock, right? There's a lot of different options for you. Slammers are one, obviously, which just headbutt the rock and breathe fire on it if you upgrade them enough. You have bombers who, you know, slam dunk on the rock and deal a little bit of damage. I haven't really found a purpose for those specifically. And there's a bunch of other ones too, right? All these are in progress to destroying the rock, which accrues more wealth, which then gets piled up on the screen. Which, of course, you can't really drag and drop into the factory machine, so you have to get people to do it for you! That's the whole point of this game. And that's why you need collectors. These are the people who are able to move all the wealth they've generated from destroying the rock into the little funny chute that then gets put into other projects. That's how you get all the money. Right? And I like this game specifically because, like, unlike other games, like, for example, Venture Capitalist, there's not really much to its UI. It's literally just a bar that continuously gets filled up. And eventually, when it gets too full, you don't even get to see the full impact of what you're doing, right? It's literally so fast that you're just not even able to see what it's doing. Same thing with kind of like Cookie Clicker, in a sense. You're not really, like, doing anything with the cookie. It's just a big cookie on the screen. You're clicking the cookie, but it's not actually doing anything. Do the freaking cookie, man! Now imagine if the cookie clicker had a full UI where you actually had to move the cookies from the factory into the shipment containers and then shift them off, right? That would be interesting, which is exactly what this game does, which I love so much. You get to see the shards of rock get funneled off, just thrown away into the empty space. And you have to get the movers to then move the collectors to get the rocks into the chute, right? It's just elegant. It looks nice. And also, you can do it yourself. It's just great. I like it a lot. Now, specifically, there's a lot of upgrades in this game. And there's a lot of things you can do in this game. Also, we have a comment from Carissa specifically, who says, don't ruin Cookie Clicker. It's perfect. And I'm not saying it's not perfect. That's all I'm saying. No. I'm just saying there's other ways to perfection than just clicking a cookie, you know? What is life than just simply clicking a cookie over and over again and getting your grandma to do it, right? Getting 1,000 grandmas autonomously working on the cookie. I would much rather do the labor myself. I personally have to lead these norps into battle against the rock, right? You know, like, I guess a cookie clicker obviously is like one of the most popular games because you kind of anticipate like the cookie that it's getting clicked, and you're able to see the number go up, which is fine. But what if you could like see the cookie getting in? You could grab the cookie and you could hold the cookie. What if you could do that? This is what this game offers. This Norp Apologue is exactly that. You don't just click the rock and it automatically goes in your stockpile. No. It shoots the rock off into the distance, and it lays there for other people to collect, or even to climb on. There's a bunch of different norps in this game, a lot of different employments that these norps can go on, right? Obviously, I've talked about slammers, which just headbutt the rock, which must be very hurtful for them, but they hate the rock so much that it doesn't matter too much for them, right? You have machine gun weapon... What am I talking about? Gatling gun people, guys who hold the Gatling gun. You know what I'm talking about, man? Weaponists, whatever those are. Artillerists, I guess? Maybe? I don't know. Beats me. They shoot the gun at the rock. You don't get better than that. And obviously, you also have dive bombers who dive bomb the rock. You have a small flower garden that accrues different potions that allows other norps to take different effects. Like one that makes them really big, which then can make a big old ripple effect in your little stockpile that is harder because the distance for these collectors to get the rocks is harder because if it's farther away, then they have to travel a farther distance. However, these big guys can slam the ground and then push all the crap closer to them, which is lovely. I love it. Same thing goes for the hikers. They climb onto the pile and start digging at specific points, right? That's most of Norp society. Now, obviously, like most incremental games, there are layers of prestige in the game. The first layer is called, I think it's called compression events. So compression events are what happen when you continue to build the pile to an excruciatingly high degree. If the pile gets too big, then it collapses in on itself and gets sucked back into the rock, which is why they hate it so much, because it steals from them. It adamantly steals from them. They work so hard to destroy the rock, and it removes all their progress, which they hate and despise. So the entire pile, not including the stuff in your own reserves that they've already collected, but everything that's already been destroyed but not collected yet, gets sucked back into the rock. And you have to be wondering, like, okay, what's the point of this? The rock then generates a bit of Zybe, which is a specific material which then can be used to upgrade more Norps. These Norps can gain magical, elusive powers, such as, for example, like I said, breathing fire, or, for example, maybe increasing the amount of, what was it, increasing the amount of flowers that you produce at your garden, or even specifically infusing a Norp with this Zybe energy and possibly making so that they can move the shards with their mind because they just hate the rock so much that they can move the shards with their mind instead of having to walk over to there. You know what I'm saying, right? So the more compression events you commit, the more Zybe that you generate. However, it also is able to I guess, collect more of the shards, if you know what I'm saying. But basically, the whole idea is that it's harder for you to generate more shards the more compression events that you do. So the other layer of prestige is actually just prestiging, like actually resetting the entire game and starting from scratch, which is a very homestead of a lot of different idle games. You see this in Cookie Clicker. You see this in Antimatter Dimensions. You even see this in Adventure Capitalist, right? A lot of these games allow you to reset your entire progress, which then allows you to get more, What would I say specifically? Your growth becomes more rapid. You can get to the point where you're at faster and even go beyond it more effectively, right? In this game, however, it unlocks a skill tree, which then you can specifically, strategically put skill points into the skill tree, which then allow you to unlock special abilities for your Norps, right? For example, with the fire-breathing Norps, you can instead make them so that they spit out bullets instead. Or you can make it so that there is a King of the Mountain for the hiker Norps, which then causes them to dig faster, allows them to move around quicker, stuff like that. A lot of, like, very, very specific statistical, you know, strategic mechanics that allow the game to run faster and allow them to play to your own play style, which makes this game, again, more of an incremental game rather than an idle game. Because when you turn off the game, you don't accrue any more stars. The Norps are frozen in time, and you must lead the Norps in order to for them to get back on their asses. Of course, my strategy, personally, was to just load up the rock with a bunch of status effects, rockets, you name it, I threw everything at it, right? My whole plan was to get what are called these rockets, and there's a specific thing that you can do with the collectors that go and collect the rocks that allows them to, instead of having to go back to throw the rocks back into the main deposit, they'll just throw it from the location they're at so they can continuously go and throw the rocks there. There's about a 50% chance when you upgrade it fully of them actually throwing it in directly from where they are instead of having to run over there, right? The constant progression of them allows them to gain jetpacks, which allows them to do this, right? Which is a very important lore aspect that you have to keep in mind because it will be on the test. I will quiz you after this. You will have a test, an exam even, to get you ready for this school term. I hope you're happy. But essentially, instead of having it go into the deposit when they're throwing it over there, they could throw it all the way to a rocket manufacturing plant, which then allows it to spawn smaller rockets, which then allow it to blow up the rock, which then causes it to deal more damage to from other sources of damage, right? I also stacked up a bunch of other multipliers. Like I mentioned earlier as well, there's one that just literally vomits on the rock by eating a green potion, which is not great. I don't think that's too healthy for the Norp, but they don't mind because they want to destroy the rock. They want to kill the rock, so they don't mind. They throw the vomitous acid on the rock, which causes more damage from other damage sources, right? From fire, for example, or other different incremental sources of damage that might accrue on this rock. I also had ice arrows, which allowed it to freeze the rock, and there was a specific prestige skill, which then allowed it to be frozen and deal more damage, which was very fun. I like this game a lot, even though I don't really like incremental games. I think the main reason why I don't like incremental games is because I feel like I'm wasting my time, right? A lot of the time with incremental games, it feels like I'm not really getting anywhere. There's no end goal. I'm not succeeding because there's no success. There's no goalpost, right? I don't like the idea of just getting squintillions or how whatever the hell the value is beyond a Google or a Googleplex cookies or atoms or whatever else. I don't like the idea of just wasting my time watching it progress and get bigger and bigger because that just doesn't, it just, I feel like I could just be playing Baldur's Gate and enjoying like an actual story rather than, you know, whatever those games are. But with the Norp Apologue, it actually provides a little bit more personality to the game rather than just a incremental game. It provides, you know, a sense of character, like these Norps are actually progressing towards something, which is, as stupid as it sounds, is exactly what they're doing. Now, of course, I think there's some things that could be improved. I mean, like, I think the main thing also is the fact that it's just so many stats, it kind of bogs you down a little bit. Like, I'm looking at all these different things, and I'm like, yeah, sure, fire, ice, vomit, whatever. Like, I don't really look at what I'm doing because I'm not really into, like, the specific number grind. That's what I do at school. I don't want to have to do this in the game, right? It'd be different if it was, say, Dungeons & Dragons, which kind of, A, streamlines the process, and B, also provides a little bit more of a satisfaction when you're calculating how much damage you could possibly do. But in this game, just hit the rock, man. Like, obviously, there's a bit of strategy involved, which I enjoy a lot, because it's actually really cool, depending on, like, what you should be investing into. What should your NORP work force be investing into in order to effectively hit the rock faster and get to the point where you were before more effectively? But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I beat the game. That's cool. I mean, like, it took me 11 hours, like, over the course of, like, I think, 3 weeks. And I was like, yeah, that was a game. That felt like a game to me. Like, even though I felt like I was wasting my time, it was no different than other games that I feel like I've wasted my time at, you know? For example, Slay the Spire, right? Like, these games, like, as long as it has some sort of, like, brain-teasing, puzzle-solving, problem-solving sort of thing, I'm fine with it. It seems good to me. Also, it just has a lot of pizzazz, and I like the descriptions a lot. Let me see if I can just pull a random... Let me go to the NORP page of the NORP wiki. The NORP wiki will probably tell me everything I need to know. The NORP wiki would never lead me astray. They don't have the quotes, man. Oh, they do. Never mind. Damn it. They don't have... Nah, that sucks. Damn. They don't have the freaking quotes. Man, that sucks. I like this quote, though, on the wiki. NORP lore. NORPs have been observed to take physical shards and distribute them in a manner to create buildings such as housing. The actual method in which NORPs do this is not explained. All you see in the game is them, like, shooting off compacting the shards into a big box and then bringing the box over to a location and then dropping it down like SimCity style and then just creating something out of nothing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The NORPs are very, very, very advanced species and race. They know exactly what they're doing, and they hate the rock so much. They despise the rock. Oh, my mother's calling me. What the heck? I'll have to get back to that later. But for now, specifically about NORP birth, have never been observed to be created and or born. But physical casualties have been observed when NORPs try to pull out the NORP caliber unsuccessfully. They explode into many bits. Yes, that is something in this game. Because obviously, I mean, they have to allude to something. Talking about the music as well, right? This is very... Feels very classical for some reason. I don't know. It's very interesting. There's, like, a lot of etudes. A lot of, like... It feels a lot like, what's that? Louis Zong music. It feels a lot like a very, like, waltzy but synthy at the same time. As if you're, like, on a mothership that has a ballroom in it, you know? It's very sci-fi. Like, it feels, like, very, very, almost Ender's Game-esque. But at the same time, has a lot of, what's the word? Classical influence. And for example, NORP caliber, which includes, once you get to a specific point in the game where you've accrued enough talent points, which are generated, by the way, by getting enough production from your NORPs, they automatically produce some upgrades, but then you have to choose some upgrades that you want to do as well. One of the upgrades is the Shrine, which then allows you to find NORP Scalibur. NORP Scalibur. Don't you like this game? Hey, don't you like this game? Come on. NORP Scalibur. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. That's pretty freaking good, man. It's pretty freaking good. You can't get better than that. Come on! NORP Scalibur, dude! It's NORP Scalibur. You can't get better than that. I'm saying this like you know what I'm talking about. Basically, you can get a cool... Once eventually the person who is destined to be, you know, the person who pulls the sword from the stone, NORP Scalibur from the stone, they will eventually allow you to accrue so much generation of shards. It's pretty much the end game, end game there. That was like the pretty much the last thing I had to do before I beat the game as a whole. No spoilers though, of course. The game will never be spoiled for you, the audience. I would simply never do that. The rock splits apart. No, I spoiled it. No, damn it. You destroy the rock at the end of the game. Yeah, I kind of said it out loud, but yeah, no. The rock dies. You kill the rock. The rock explodes. Apparently there's a hard mode too where eventually like there's like asteroids in the sky and you have to like collect them and stuff, which is really interesting as well, but I probably will never play that because it feels way too complex for me, for my smooth reptilian brain. I'd much rather play Slay the Spire and fail 100 million times trying to defeat the freaking heart. Not the heart. I've been just doing regular runs of the Slay the Spire. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just a freaking mole cow, man. Have you heard of this phrase? I've never heard of this before. I listened to The Yard, the podcast, and I just heard the lol cow phrase getting ripped off rip, and I'm like, what does that mean? I still don't know what it means, to be honest with you. It's just a funny phrase. I think it's someone who you keep around just to purposely, like, you know, make fun of, I think. You can go to Urban Dictionary. Actually, I'll do that right now. Urban Dictionary. Let me see. Gotta make sure I don't. Let's see. So lol cow is a person that you get extensive laughs from who doesn't know they're being made fun of. Which is kind of the whole, if you say I'm a lol cow, it kind of defeats the purpose in that context then. They can often think they are admired for what they're doing, but they're being secretly laughed at constantly. So if you want an example, for example, like Elon Musk, it's the most popular version of a lol cow. That's what we would assume to be a lol cow. Because if you remember, like, from a few months ago, the freak out he had online, the sort of drug-fueled haze that he had online, allegedly. A lot of fun times on the internet and politics, and it's really cool, guys. I love it so much. We're getting off topic. The NORP Apologue. What are my thoughts of the NORP Apologue as a whole? I think this game is an interesting sort of diatribe into the whole indie game market, I think, probably, because it actually provides a visual for what you're looking at, right? Games like Factorio are more, you know, automated-based, but they're not necessarily incremental, because you are a character in the game that's still doing stuff. And it's not an idle game either, because, you know, when you put the game away, it goes away forever. So this game has to be on its merits, on its own. A lot of the dopamine that you receive from these idle games are from the fact that when you come back for a day or whatever, they usually have enough, you generate a lot of cash that allows you to do a lot of things in the moment. But with this game specifically, he was able to create a very, very fun, puzzling, and strategic game about NORPs and employing NORPs to defeat a rock that allows you to collect the money and build up NORP society from the ground up. I think that is the main core and main tenet of this game, and I don't think there has to be anything more said about this game, honestly. This is a perfectly concise and beautiful game, and I will cherish it always. So what's next week and the week after that? So, audience, I don't have a guest this month, unfortunately. Probably not, anyway. I'll have to ask Elise. Because we've been playing a fun little game called Blueprints, which actually won a few awards from a couple months ago. The whole idea of Blueprints is it's kind of like an escape room roguelike where you have to constantly visit and see the ever-shifting changers of the room, but it's also a puzzle game where you have to discover, and it's a bit of a mystery game as well. It's a very, very fun game. And then 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about mobile game slop. I'll be discussing why everything is terrible now, why the App Store sucks, why the Google Play Store sucks, why nothing seems to be, like, the top games are just slop for, like, five-year-old children whose parents don't care about them. Sorry, guys. I'm so sorry for this generation. We were raised better than this, and that's exactly what I'll be discussing. Why we were had such a good prime 2010s market of mobile games and more innovative concepts of what could be a mobile game, and how it turned into drivel, constant slop, and just a overall desaturation of what good games are as a whole. I hope you'll join me for both of them, because they'll be interesting. And then next month, we can actually talk a bit about next month, because I've been planning a bit in advance. This is obviously not set in stone, but I believe I have a little bit of a plan for this entire term. So for January, we're just getting some general footing. We're not discussing anything too specific, but we're going to be kind of focusing around good games and bad games, mainly talking about monetization, what makes a game good versus what makes a game slop, right? I think that's fair to decide. There's a lot of people talking about game slop, and we have to discuss specifically what we're talking about when we're talking about game slop, right? In February, we've been talking about narrative games and RPGs. We're going to talk about metagames, which I've been putting off for so long because I still need to play One Shot, but we'll be talking about Undertale and One Shot for one episode. We'll be talking about dating visual novels for another episode. We'll be talking about Omomori for another episode, and hopefully we'll get to Papers, Please. Again, there might be like a little bit of a break, so one of these might get cut depending on when that is. In March, we'll be talking about Flash games, the late aughts to the early 2010s. We'll be talking about Edmund McMillen, Newgrounds, Binding of Isaac, Super Meat Boy, all those people. We'll be talking about Fez, and we'll be talking about what causes egoism in this industry. And we'll be calling off with one of my favorite games that I discovered recently in the tower defense genre, Kingdom Rush, and the sad fate of Armor Games, and a bunch of these other publishers of Flash games as a whole. In April, we'll be having a bit of a lightning round, because we won't have a full month to discuss everything, but I'm hoping to get my Dungeons & Dragons players to talk about Baldur's Gate, because we've all played Baldur's Gate. I haven't finished it yet, but we're hoping that everything gets kind of... I hope I get through most of the game when we're talking about it, so at least I know where the game is going before they start spoiling stuff. And we'll also be talking about Hi-Fi Rush, which is a game that came out 2 years ago. The developers got completely mistreated. And we'll be talking about layoffs and all the degradation of IP and all that kind of icky, gross stuff that corporations like to do to our fun games. So that's like the general lineup. Obviously, I'll let you know if anything changes or stuff like that. Understandably, this just seems a bit big, and it's meant to be, because I'm going to probably be changing a lot of this stuff. And we'll be able to see it on, again, my Instagram account, Independent Incidentals. So give me a follow if you like the episode. And I'll see you next week. We'll close you out with a little fun, maybe some Gojira, maybe some Metallica, maybe some I'm picky. I'm very picky today. I don't know. I've just been kind of off of my phone recently, you know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of like goaded like that. So I don't really have, like, anything really specific. No, I got something. I've been listening to a lot of Dreadnoughts again. So we're going to listen to some Dreadnoughts. Dusty Ground. And we'll go into Hyperion Omnirift from Maelstrom. Maybe Banana, depending on how far we get. And I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the end of the episode. I shall now recount how many times Dominic said the word specifically, including this time. Drum roll, please. 20 times he said that word. Goodbye, everybody.